Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Well, here's my question for you today. And guys, this conversation is for you as well. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. But I'm going to direct it towards women, specifically moms. Are you doing this journey alone? Do you feel pretty lonely in the journey? Do you have some friends that help carry the burden where you kind of do life together? My guest today writes this. Because our mothering community is no longer formed naturally within the extended family relationships, we actually have to pursue, discover, and assemble it ourselves. We have to recognize the value of it and make it a priority in our lives because we're stronger, wiser, and even healthier when we have a mom community around us. And that's what we're talking about today, about building a community of mothers and why it's so important to our overall health. All right? I can't wait for you to hear what Jill Savage has to say. Before we get her on, though, I want to issue a special welcome to our friends listening in on 93.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa. Would love to hear from you if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And if you're tuning in on 93.1 FM from Waterloo, let me know in that email, and I'll send you just a gift pack of some books, just as our welcome to you. And if you want a new listener packet, just to learn more about Faith Radio, you'll get a best of CD that's a sampling of our programs. You can sign up for that as well on our website at myfaithradio.com. But either way, welcome to the Faith Radio family. Well, we are almost done with this month of August with our Live Free Challenge, but it's still not too late to support those of us who are doing it. We're logging miles for justice's sake. We're riding, biking, and running as far as we can in the month of August to raise money for International Justice Mission. Our goal is to raise $50,000 to help put an end to human trafficking. If you feel like you can't sign up yet because there's 10 days left in this month and you don't really feel like you can work out, but you want to sow into this cause, you can do so easily and securely on the website livefreechallenge.org, and you can support a few of us. We would sure love that. Imagine if we blew past our goal. I think it's absolutely and totally possible. And finally, third quick announcement here. We are giving away one Family Life Marriage Bible every single week. And Family Life with Dennis and Barbara Rainey offered this Bible with some just great tips, great articles, and we would love to get one into your hands. Every single week, somebody's going to get one. Maybe it's you this week. So sign up for free at myfaithradio.com. I hope you do win. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jill Savage is an author and international speaker who helps moms be the best they can be. As the founder and CEO of Hearts at Home and mother of five, Jill has led thousands of moms to keep their priorities straight and their heart in tune with God. Her books include No More Perfect Moms, Living with Less So Your Family Has More, and Real Moms, Real Jesus, just to name a few. You can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Jill, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you. It's always good to be with you, Susie.
Looking forward to the conversation. Congratulations on another great book, by the way.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This was fun to do this one with my daughter. She's a young mom of two, and so we really wanted to do something together that would talk about the importance of building your mom tribe, but really apply to young moms, you know, who are in the trenches, and to older moms like myself who are now empty nesters, but we still need a mom tribe. So
Indeed. It
just runs the whole gamut of motherhood.
Well, you never stop the mom thing. You know, I mean, when our kids are grown and gone, you need a bigger tribe.
I know, isn't it the truth?
You
yes,
need a,
ma'am.
Exactly. So, Jill, we always start the conversation talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the verses that I've just really been meditating on is Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I love this verse because it is such a reminder that God is not done with us yet. He is perfecting us and molding us into him, his image. And I love that verse. It's a reminder of the fact that he's at work in my life.
Very, very good. Well, you open this new book, Better Together, with a story about a time that you were going to, I think it might have been your first Hearts at Home event. You expected a certain number. You were getting a much higher number in attendance. And then you were lamenting to God. I love
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I was kind of complaining. Yeah, I was.
Let's hear that. Tell
well,
us that
you know,
story.
Hearts at Home, we started our very first conference, expected 400, had 1,000, well, 1,100 actually, and so blew us away. It was actually the story I share in the book. It was just a couple weeks before our second conference. We already had 2,800 women registered, and I was finding myself at the helm of a mom's ministry, not something I ever had a passion to do, not something I ever thought I would be doing, leading a ministry. And not only that, but as I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of girlfriends. I had a lot of guy friends because, quite frankly, I found friendships with guys was less complicated. And so here I was leading a women's ministry, finding myself, you know, with 2,800 women looking at me for leadership, and I'm having a conversation with God going, you have to be laughing. You have me leading a women's ministry, and I don't like women.
I laughed out loud in my office when I read that. That's pretty hilarious, I got to say. And God said back to you, Jill, what?
Oh, well, you know, at that moment, I mean, you know, that really shows you the truth of the statement many of us know, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Amen.
And certainly I now understand I need women in my life. Back then I knew I needed women. That's why I started the moms group that grew into Hearts at Home, because honestly, I was desperate. I was desperate to know that my life was normal, my struggles were normal, these challenges with these little people calling me mother were normal. And so I love women, and I know and now understand their need for them in my life. But I think, you know, I share that story right at the top because I actually have talked to a lot of women who have felt that way.
Well, yeah, I have felt that way. I mean, I've had the same kind of conversation, women's ministry, because, you know, I don't trust women. And, you know, on one hand, I had three brothers, three sisters, but I was a bit of more of a tomboy, related more to, you know, I don't know, G.I. Joe's than I did sissy sparkly shoes and that kind of a thing. But I will tell you, the reason I love that you started with that, Jill, is because you just sort of put your finger on, I think, why so many women avoid friendships for all these different reasons, but we don't relate, or we've tried to and we've been burned, and so we think, I'm going to go it alone. It's almost more painful to be vulnerable, let yourself be known, get stabbed in the back and go, not going to do that again. You've seen that, I'm sure, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of also what I wanted Better Together to really address. Is how can we do these relationships better? You know, as women, we do have this tendency, you know, to talk about each other instead of talking to each other. And so I really wanted to challenge our thinking on that. You know, one of the things we look at is we look at Matthew 18. It says, you know, if your brother offends you, go and I, you know, I often feminize that. If your sister offends you, go and does the verse say, go and tell three other women what she did?
Right.
No, it doesn't say that. Then why do we have the tendency to do that?
Exactly.
It says that we need to go and speak directly to her. And so we look at the good sides of, you know, friendships. We look at the hard sides of friendship. We look at how we can serve each other better. And that's why I just so much believe in the message of Better Together.
Indeed. In fact, in the book, your daughter Anne tells a story about a conversation she had with her dad, your hubby. She talked about a friend who always and only ever wanted to go shopping. And your husband wisely said to her that no one friend will meet all of her friendship needs. I want you to talk about why that piece of wisdom is so critical to having healthy relationships. And if we don't get that, I think we'll have a series of broken down relationships.
Right. Well, we've got to, we have to watch our expectations. our expectations are also often off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we don't deal with those off the chart expectations, we become disappointed, we become discouraged, we become disillusioned. And that's the point in which we go, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. And we truck it. And the truth is, God created us to live in community with one another. He modeled that for us. He showed us, Jesus lived with his disciples. He laughed with them. He ate with them. He did life with them. Now, they also they had their failures, in the same way that our friends have their failures as well. They were imperfect human beings. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. The disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, they said they would pray with him, and they fell asleep. So they disappointed him. So it is difficult, but we also have to have that expectation that our friends will be imperfect. They'll mess up, and this is a part of the human experience. And when we can begin to dig at the foundation of some of those expectations, which are really keeping us at arm's length from others, or they're causing us to always be disappointed with our relationships, then we're on our way to actually being able to successfully navigate these imperfect but yet very important relationships.
Mm, very good. One of my oldest, dearest friends always says, I never get too excited about a new relationship until we've had our first conflict, because then I know what that relationship is made of. Isn't that good? And
that's good.
Yeah. And, oftentimes, Jill, women will bolt at the first hint of conflict. Why do we do that, and what are we so afraid of?
Well, honestly, the biggest reason that we bolt is two things. One, if I leave, then I've rejected you, and you haven't rejected me. So I think it is oftentimes a very subtle way of maintaining control. The second reason is, quite frankly, most of us don't know how to handle conflict well. Most of us didn't grow up seeing conflict handled well. I mean, even in my family, I think about from Mark and my marriage. Okay, so in his family, conflict was handled with rage and anger. In my family, well, we like to believe there was no conflict. We just swept everything under the carpet. So, okay, here's two human beings that have no idea what healthy conflict resolution looks like. And honestly, I think we represent much of the world.
Yeah.
And so then we botch it, and we struggle with it, and we don't follow God's word on what he says to do with conflict. We try to handle it in our humanness, and oftentimes that brings about pain, and we get to a place where we say, this isn't worth it.
Hmm. Talking to Jill Savage today, founder, CEO of Hearts at Home. Title of her new book she co-wrote with her daughter, Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. I don't know if we could get this to you in time for Mother's Day, but would you believe we've got 5 copies? So if you call in and you get on the air with a question, you want to chime into the conversation, you'll get a copy, I'm pretty sure, 877-933-2484. If you want to go in the drawing, you might get it. I hope you could get it before, but let's just try. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Better Together in the subject line. Now remember, this happens every day. Send your mailing address, because I can't email you Jill's book. I have to mail the hard copy. Mailing address, Better Together, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We've got 5 books, and this would be a great Mother's Day gift. More with Jill Savage when we return. You're having a fantastic day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Jill Savage. She's the founder and CEO of Hearts at Home, a powerful ministry to minister to moms to help them make every moment count. She co-wrote a book with her daughter, Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. So, we were talking before the break about conflict and healthy conflict resolution. That's just a learned skill, because as you say, we all show up in our relationships with just whatever has been modeled to us in the past. So what would you say that healthy conflict, because we're looking at the mom thing, and this is why moms go it alone sometimes, as they tiptoe in, they have the first hint of conflict with a girlfriend, and they bolt and they get out of Dodge. So talk about what healthy conflict looks like.
Well, there are several steps to healthy conflict. So here's just a few of them. The first thing that we need to do is check our heart. What assumptions are we making? Maybe we're making assumptions about a friend's intentions. And it you know, oftentimes we impose our thoughts on somebody else's actions. So we don't want to assume that our perspective is right and her perspective is wrong. We need to ask God to show us any place we need to do an attitude adjustment in this particular friendship. The second step is to talk only to her. Again, we're back to Matthew 18, where God says, if you have a struggle, go and talk to that person. And he says specifically, just between the two of you. So that means you don't talk to somebody else, you talk to them. And oftentimes, here's what I've learned, is oftentimes it is just a misunderstanding. It is a miscommunication, and we go back and we sort through that, and we clarify that and clear things up, and we move forward. Here's a third principle, talk soon. Don't give the enemy a foothold. So, you know, we need to certainly take the time to check our own attitude and our own heart, but we need to talk soon. Keep the bigger picture in mind, because your goal is a deeper, stronger relationship. So this isn't about confronting. It's about communicating honestly, and that's really important. These are important. Three more. Be empathetic. Try to see your friend's point of view, because sometimes we just don't see things the same way as each other. Be loving. Now, this is one I had to learn really hard, because I'll tell you what, Susie, I'm a straight shooter. So I just kind of want to go in there and, you know, lay it all out. And I have to learn how to back it off and really learn how to say things kindly. And then finally, bring resolution to the table. Own what you can own. Apologize what you can apologize for. Ask for and offer forgiveness. And forgiveness is the key, really. We have to sort through it, and then we have to be willing to give forgiveness and grace and move on.
Boy, such fantastic wisdom. You know, the Bible says, you know, that an offended brother is harder to win back than a walled-off city. And sometimes, no matter what you do, that person wants their offense more than they want the friendship. What's your advice for that person listening today, Jill, who's brokenhearted but has just tried everything? Because that's going to happen sometimes.
It is. In fact, I tell a story in the book about a 7-year friendship. I mean, I had a friend that I did life with. We lived life together. We celebrated birthdays. Our kids played all the time. We raised our kids together. And I felt her pulling away, and one day she asked me for coffee, and she said, "I just need you to know that we can't be friends anymore."
Oh,
and I was just like, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, we just can't be friends anymore." And I'm like, "I don't understand. Like, what, did I do something? Did something happen that I'm not aware of? No, I'm just not a good friend, and we can't be good friends anymore." And I'm telling you, there was no conversation about that. It was a done deal in her head. To this day, which is 15 years later, I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened. So sometimes those things do happen, and I think that we, you know, it's very difficult. I think that's the point where we have to go to our Heavenly Father, and we have to say, "Lord, I don't understand this. My heart is broken, and your word tells me that you draw near to the brokenhearted, and so I pray, Father, that you will redeem this for your good."
Indeed.
And I feel like God has done that in my story. I've been able to share that with others, so to let them know, gosh, it doesn't always work out peaches and cream. And that's hard. It really is. But the other thing is, sometimes in those situations, maybe we need to step back. Sometimes there are toxic relationships, and we talk about that in Better Together as well. Somebody who just, you know, every time you're with them, they bring you down. They cause negativity in you. Maybe they are always taking from the relationship but not giving. And so oftentimes we have to take that to the feet of Jesus, and we have to go, "What do you want me to do here, Lord?" Because sometimes he has us simply be a giver in that relationship, because that person is so broken or so wounded they can't even see what they're doing, and they're not in a place. And it's our, sometimes God just has us there, and we need to know, this is going to be a place where I'm going to give, and I'm not really going to be able to receive much. And there are other times where oftentimes, you know, he gives us that freedom to let that relationship go. And friendships are relationships that are often flexible. They move in and out depending on seasons of life. And so sometimes I think we work pretty hard to keep something that just isn't, maybe there isn't a good reason for it to be in life right now as well, especially if it's draining us.
You know, I just love what you just said about there are times when the relationship where you're just a giver, and that's okay. Because in the world of boundaries, 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 it's like that is never okay. But it has to be okay, I would think, as a Christ follower. I know it has its limits, but I love that perspective because, you know, I think of seasons in my life as a young mom. I was so broken and it felt lopsided. And I pray for those friends all the time because I, you know, just in my capacity back then. And I just love that.
Right.
I appreciate that. Okay.
And, well, I think we have to really ask God, is this one of those?
Right.
You know, because sometimes, yes, it might be unhealthy for us to keep that. But if we get rid of all of our expectations of that person, it may be that he uses us to bless them and to love them through a hard season.
Yeah, yep. So good. We've got about 2.5 minutes to our bottom of the hour break, so you may have to carry this answer over to the other side. But this caller said, my dear daughter-in-law is resistant to forming deep relationships in our community and tends to bolt at the first sign of conflict. Is it my place as her mother-in-law to speak life, to encourage her, or should I hold my tongue and just pray for her?
I would say hold your tongue and pray for her, but I would also say model it differently for her. Model friendships. Show her what that looks like to be loved unconditionally. Show her what it's like to live life with some other women. Because sometimes the most powerful, you know, I think about and I can't remember who said it, but, they said something like preach and if necessary use words. Hmm. Oftentimes our actions and what we live out in front of those people that mean so much to us can be far more powerful than our words. And so, and I tell you, I've learned as a mother-in-law, and as a mother-in-law that you do tread very lightly on, you do a lot of encouraging and praying and asking God to show you those right moments when you can offer a word of encouragement, but you offer very little correction, that you're not in a place to do that.
Our mutual friend Kendra Smiley says it so well. She says, when you're a mom, you're kind of the centerpiece, your center stage of this play of life. And when you become a mother-in-law, you go over to holding a rope on the curtain and you have a bit part. And it's a hard transition, but it is just true. And I think it's a whole new level of unconditional love and servanthood, and one that they won't understand until they're in that role, you know?
Yep. Agreed. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
We are amazing. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you, Jill, about jealousy and the role that that plays, because there are times unnecessary conflict. I mean, I even imagine this friend who broke up with you, so to speak, may have been dealing with jealousy as you are just all of a sudden entrusted with this ministry that's exploding at the seams. We have to deal with what our friends bring up in us, and some of that's on us. It's not on the person that we're jealous of. Love for you to speak to that when we get back. Title of Jill's book, again, Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. You got a question? Now's the time to call 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email if you want to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Better Together in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. I've already received 3 emails with no mailing address. Keep them coming, though. Want to hear from you more with Jill Savage when we return. Just let that song go because I like it. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Jill Savage. She's a longtime friend. I almost said old friend, but she's not old. She's a fiery woman of God, and she's wise, and boy, hard-fought wisdom at that. Title of the book she co-authored with her daughter, Be Better Together Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. I wanted to ask you the question about jealousy and how that impacts our approach to community. We're going to get to that in a moment, but we've got an anonymous caller checking in with a question today. Hey, friend, you're on the air.
Hi.
How are you?
Thank you. Hi, fine. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding a dear friend that I offended, that I asked forgiveness of, and we stopped seeing each other, but now we're back to seeing each other, and our friendship is great. But I'm still waiting for her to forgive me. Her response in an email was, "I have to hear from the Holy Spirit." I'm not sure if this person is a born-again believer. She talks the talk, but I'm just not sure, you know?
Mm, wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's very painful,
yes.
You know, because I want her to forgive me. I needed to ask forgiveness. I was at fault, and so I did that, but I don't know how to handle it. I don't want to say, well, we have some unfinished business here, you know. And
mm-hmm.
So I just would appreciate your advice.
That is hard. And, boy, we can't control anybody else, can we?
Mm-hmm.
We can only do what we need to do. And you did what you needed to do, which is ask for forgiveness. And, you know, as much, I mean, you could have that conversation. I don't know how she could ever have a friendship without forgiving you. I don't know that you could call that a friendship.
Right. And as a Christian, she doesn't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to tell her to forgive because he already tells us, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. I was thinking the exact same thing because God has already told us that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no waiting. We already have our command that we are to forgive. And so, you know, that I think that is you're in a tough place and you have to make that determination. If you feel like that friendship is being held back by her lack of forgiveness, is it a healthy relationship? And you have to make that decision for yourself. So I would encourage you to pray, to ask for God's direction on that. If you feel like you're able to still have a good relationship in spite of, you know, feeling like that it hasn't happened and there hasn't been closure to that, and you feel like God is saying stay, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just can't imagine that you're able to have the depth that you want if there's unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. And as painful as it is to let go, let's say that person, like Scripture talks about, those offended brothers that are is walled off as a walled-off city, I've seen people go through this. I've had to walk through that where you just have to you do have to let go and find peace and joy. And it seems hard, but I think there's something powerful, Jill, about being content to be misunderstood. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but when you've done everything you can to build a bridge and that person will not be won over, there is a place of joy and peace again, even if they never understand you, isn't there?
There is. And I don't think it has to mean it's the end of the relationship, but I think it can mean it might be the end of the relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think that you're at a Y in the road. It doesn't mean that it can't be, but you're right. I love how you just said that you have to find contentment in being misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
That because it's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. You could talk until you're blue in the face. And although it sounds like in this case, you own what you did and you accept responsibility. And boy, that's beautiful for a friend. But the other half of that is there's certainly a question on the table that hasn't been answered. And I'm sorry for that.
Yeah.
I think that that's hard. But just continue to talk with the Lord about it. He will show you the way.
Indeed. Make sure you give Grace your address, and we'll get you a copy of Jill's book. All right. So back to this jealousy question, because, you know, the sin of comparison thing is just, you know, it's epidemic among women. I'd say epidemic among 20s and 30s and 40s and, well, 50s
yep.
and 60s. Yeah, I was going to narrow that down. But truly, in every stage of life, there are different things to be jealous about. But, you know, Jill, you don't hear too many sermons preached on the passage in James that says that jealousy is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. As you look at the progression even, it starts out just as being earthly, so it's not a spiritual thing, and then it's downright
right.
unspiritual. And then it becomes a gateway for that enemy to wreak havoc in your life in every other way, but we don't hear too much about it. I want you to talk about that piece and what your responsibility is if you're on the receiving end of somebody's jealousy.
Well, you know, we are... We so easily walk in our flesh, don't we?
Yeah.
We just so easily do that. And I think that's what this verse, you know, is talking about there. It's earthly. It's going to be very easy to walk in the flesh. And so it's easy to covet, to want what somebody else has. And I think it's way easier today than it used to be. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we have that phrase, 50 years ago, we started saying, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Well, 50 years ago, you saw the Joneses once a week at church on Sunday.
Exactly.
Now you see the Joneses, you know, 20 times a day when you're on social media. And so we have the ability to compare ourselves so much easier, and this is so dangerous. And so let's talk about it from the side of feeling jealous. I'm jealous of someone else. I think that we have to do some self-talk. We have to remind ourselves of truth. And oftentimes I'll say to myself, Jill, she has a backstory that you don't know. And what that does right in that moment, it's a reminder. God is working in her life. She is struggling, and she has a backstory. And what that does is it pulls me away from the ledge of comparison and plants me on the firm foundation of reality.
Hmm.
And so, because we are all broken. We are all in process. I love what one friend said to me, and I included this in my book, No More Perfect Moms, several years ago. But she said this: the older I get, the closer I get to figuring out there is no enviable life out there.
Wow.
I need to pay more attention to the blessings I have and less to the myopic illusion that others are better or better off than I am. And I think that I do think it begins to decrease the older we get. I don't think, you know, we're still human and we still struggle with it. But I think we do start realizing people are hurting. People are struggling. And we may not see it on the outside, but I've lived long enough to know that everybody has their backstory. Everybody has their struggles. So I think that helps us to resist the urge to compare. And then as far as being on the other side and having someone who is jealous of you, I think the more that we can take off our own mask, the better off we are. You know, one of the things we talk about in Better Together is that if you only share successes, you build walls. If you also share failures, you build bridges. And we really need to be bridge builders. So we need to take that off and help them to see that your life is just as broken as their life. And I think that reduces jealousy. But sometimes it doesn't matter what you do. Some people may struggle with that, and you may have to get to that point where realizing I've done everything I can, and Lord, help me stay humble, help me to not say anything that would cause them to, you know, want to rise up in jealousy, but at the same time knowing I've done what I've all I can do.
Yeah.
You know, we can't control someone else. We can't control their thoughts, but we certainly can recognize what is it that I am contributing that maybe fuels those thoughts. And that's where we have to take ownership.
And the reason we're talking about this is this is the nitty gritty of what happens in these mom relationships, especially young women. These things come up. So it's euphoric to find a community to do play dates together until you bump into some of this stuff, and you will. And I feel like you have to think about this ahead of time. As you say, I want to think about the long-term success of this relationship and not my pound of flesh, not proving my point. And that just takes some wisdom and vision, I think, so that you can navigate the complexity of these relationships at times. We make it harder than it should be, I guess, at times. But let's talk about just the different needs that moms have between introvert mom and extrovert mom. What do these moms have in common, and what sets them apart from each other?
Oh, let me tell you, this was one of my favorite parts of the Better Together book, is when we dug into this, is we really looked at just personalities. And I think this is so important, and I think it gets in the way of friendships so often. So one of the things we created is what we call a mothering personality inventory. And why is this important? Well, it's important because the better we understand ourselves, the better I understand my friends, and the better I understand how I am the same and different from them, the easier it is to navigate our relationship. So, for instance, we talk, you know, are you an introvert mom or an extrovert mom? Are you an internal processor or an external processor? Are you an innie or an outie? And I'm not talking about belly buttons. So let's dig into the innie-outie for a second. That's how you organize your stuff, okay? An innie tends to file. An outie tends to pile. Well, let's talk about how this affects friendships. I tend to be an outie, okay? I kind of have some clutter in my home, on my desk. I live in clutter. And I walk into an innie friend's house, and she has no clutter. You know what? Instantly, I feel less than. Because I feel like, oh, how does she have such a nice, neat house? And so then that, maybe it's, you could call it jealousy, you could call it insecurity, but then that affects our friendship. And unless I understand that she's an innie, and I understand that I'm an outie, and I understand that both are okay, what a difference that makes in our friendship. So I can accept her for who she is, and she can accept me for who I am. And that, I just think that makes, in fact, we've had a lot of feedback from the Better Together book, and we hear that mothering personality inventory is like light bulbs are going off for women. And we, in fact, we put it out online. You can go to bettertogetherbook.org, and if you go to bettertogetherbook.org, it'll say take the mothering online mothering personality. It's a free inventory, and it's just very eye-opening so that we can stop trying to be someone we're not and embrace who we are, and we can stop requiring our friends to be someone they're not and embrace who they are.
Oh, that's so hugely important. And so on the introvert side, I thought this was interesting because I parallel you with this, but you used to think that you were an extrovert because you're not shy, you're able to talk with strangers, but you realize you're an introvert because you get fuel from solitude. Exactly my story,
yep.
Too. But we can be so often misunderstood because we're not shy, we're not, you know, timid, and so people may have expectations of us and then misread if we're like, you know, I know you're inviting me and I want to be invited, I just don't want to go.
Yes. And just understanding, like, I think we shared a story in the book about one mom who her friend kept inviting her to, like, home parties. And it wasn't for, I mean, she often went and didn't buy anything. She just loved the social aspect of it. Well, she hated them. So her friend was an extrovert who loved to go to these social things, and she thought she was doing her friend, this gal, a favor by inviting her to go along when this gal was an introvert and just wanted to go have coffee one-on-one with her friend. And so we misread each other because we don't understand that the way that God made us is different. The way that we're wired is different. And so the more we can understand those differences, the better we can navigate our friendships.
Taking our last break here, talking to Jill Savage, title of her book, she co-authored with her daughter, Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. When we come back, we're going to have Jill make the distinction between a low-capacity mom and a high-capacity mom and why it matters. Don't go away. More with Jill Savage when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Jill Savage. She's CEO and founder of Hearts at Home, a great ministry. They have conferences every year, a couple times. How many times a year? Three times a year?
Three times a year, and
yeah.
We're coming to Minnesota.
Wow.
We're coming to Minnesota
in the fall,
October.
Okay.
Yeah, and Chattanooga, Tennessee in November. But, yeah, you can women can go out to heartsathome.org and take a look at the wonderful, wonderful workshops that we have at our conference. So it's a great way to recharge your mom batteries.
Okay, and so she co-authored Better Together Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. You were talking about this mom personality, kind of strength finder, personality profile, and how that's just been this light bulb for so many women to go, oh, okay, this is why I'm this way, and I can't really expect my other mom friend to be this way if she's wired totally different. What about this medium low capacity mom and a medium high capacity mom? What is that, and why does it matter?
Well, this one has also been a big light bulb moment for a lot of women. So, you know, capacity, oftentimes when we're like, what is capacity? Well, capacity is the physical and emotional energy you have, okay? And so think of it this way. It might indicate how many balls you can juggle before it feels like it's too much. And so let's just, you know, for the sake of illustration, a medium low capacity mom would juggle maybe three balls and feel like that's enough. I can't do more than that. And a medium high capacity mom might juggle six balls and say, okay, that's enough for me. And this is really important to understand, I think, because oftentimes we compare ourselves to other women and we go, why can't I be more like her? I'll give you an example. You know, I co-authored the book with my daughter, Anne. She is medium low capacity. I am medium high capacity. She has all of her mothering years. She's been mothering now for 6 years. All of her mothering years, she's like, why can't I do as much as my mother? She's trying to figure that piece out. Well, guess what? She came from her mother and her father, and my husband is medium low capacity. So he doesn't like to have too much going on. He gets overwhelmed if he's got too many things that, you know, are responsibilities that he needs to be there. And lo and behold, believe it or not, all five of my kids got his capacity.
Hmm.
Now, that doesn't make, just because I have high capacity and they're low capacity, doesn't make it me better than any. We're different. We're just different, and we need to allow ourselves to be unique and stop having expectations of one another. So how does this affect friendships? Well, I'll give you an example. My daughter, Anne, has a friend who is very high capacity. She is involved in a lot of things, and she seems to manage all of them very well, and high-capacity people often do. And so Anne always felt like she didn't measure up to her. There's got to be something wrong with me. And until Annie understood this capacity thing, then she realized, wait a minute, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with me. And in her own words, one of the things she said is, it explains why my medium high capacity friend or mom can do five things at once and my limit is three. It simply helps me embrace me. And I think that's really important, because when we can embrace who we are, it also helps us to embrace who others are and allow them to be different than us and allow ourselves to be different from them.
And I don't know if this applies across the board, Jill, but I would say some of my safest friends are medium low. I'm a medium high for sure, but their pace just seems like a safe and restful place for me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, and I think that we have to learn from each other. I mean, mm-hmm. I have several medium low capacity friends, and they slow me down mm-hmm. in a very good way.
Yeah.
And they remind me that my pace oftentimes doesn't allow me to slow down enough. And so I think we all balance each other out.
Indeed.
And oftentimes, you know, they tell me that my pace often kind of gives them a kick in the seat of the pants when they feel like they need it. So we balance each other out. But that whole capacity thing has been huge in understanding myself as a mother, understanding my kids, understanding my husband, and also understanding the moms that I am living life with.
Well, something, you know, as I travel around and speak at conferences, and I've just had this same conversation with so many women's ministry directors, that in our day, you know, in the 90s, so to speak, that, you know, women were young moms, and we were involved in women's ministries, helping to put on brunches and breakfasts and Bible studies. But this generation is sort of piecemealing their spiritual experience together. Their justice thing might be with an organization, a nonprofit downtown, and then their church, sometimes they're watching it online, and their Bible study might be just with a few friends in the neighborhood, and they're piecemealing it together. How has that dynamic impacted the mom tribe dynamic?
You know, you're exactly right, and oftentimes then, I think there's some positives and some negatives. The positive is that we might have some more ponds to fish in for friendships, which sounds kind of funny, but, you know, we have to think about, where am I looking for friends? Where am I fishing and looking to foster friendships? So they may have multiple ponds because they're kind of piecemealing things together. At the same time, because it is a very separated, you know, one part of their life isn't touching another part of their life, which isn't touching another part, then it also can feel like, is there any place that really knows me? And so it can affect depth of relationship because we're not seeing the same people multiple times a week. And so I think it can be good, but I think it can be hard as well.
Indeed. This listener wrote in and says, my mother's very stubborn, controlling, and decides not to speak to me or my sisters on and off, and has done so all my adult life. I've not spoken to her since last August 2015, 4 months after my oldest sister, Her daughter died tragically, and this is the first Mother's Day without my sister daughter, and I really want to be there for her, but I'm just tired of the game she plays with me. Should I be the bigger person and reach out to her even if she rejects me, or should I keep my distance and maybe send a card? Thanks for any advice. I love my mom, but she's very hurtful and at a loss. What do you say, Jill?
Oh, that just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's when Mother's Day is really hard. I was thinking about that today, and I was just thinking about, you know, for Mother's Day can be wonderful, but it can be very, very hard. And, you know, we always want to be Jesus with skin on to the best of our ability. But at the same time, you know, certainly this is a beautiful example of toxic. That can be very painful and putting yourself in that. But I don't think there's ever anything wrong with letting someone know you're thinking of them and that you're praying for them and that, you know, you're particularly thinking as, you know, come up on Mother's Day and to let them know that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But definitely when somebody plays games like that, boy, sometimes that is very toxic. And unfortunately, sometimes that's family. And that, it, you know, sometimes we do have to put up some healthy boundaries, but I don't think it's ever wrong to reach out and speak love to someone.
Love that, Jill. Maybe just be praying for grace and a sense of peace to say, how far can I go? What can I do where wisdom would be there? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Maybe for her, she sends a bouquet of flowers, but for her, the thought of going to see her mom turns her gut into knots, to just maybe pay attention to what's going on inside for her.
Yes, that's a beautiful, what a beautiful way to kind of balance that out. Yeah. Yeah, so that is being Jesus with skin on, but also being wise and, you know, recognizing maybe what the limit is. And so I think that, you know, that's some great wisdom there.
Well, we just got a minute here before we pray, Jill, and I'm wondering, one of the things you want women to know through the ministry of Hearts at Home and through the message of this book, Better Together, is this: you are not alone. Speak to that and why that's such an important message.
Oh, it's huge. I think as women, we feel very isolated. And quite frankly, I think that the enemy uses the difficult seasons, the difficult parts of our life to further isolate us because it says there's something wrong with you. There is, you know, nobody else will understand this. And then when you become isolated, then you lose your strength that you get from your community. And oftentimes that is a spiritual strength. We need women in our life that are praying with us and praying for us, that are speaking God's word into our life. And so we need to know that we're not alone. We need to combat that isolation that keeps us separated and keeps us ultimately separated from the Lord. And so I think that's one of the biggest reasons that friendship is important.
Jill, I just can't thank you enough for what you do for family, for marriage, for moms. And I'm wondering as we wrap up, if you would pray for that person like this dear listener who maybe didn't have the mom thing modeled so well, and so they're very gun-shy about entering in relationships with other moms. Would you pray for that precious soul today?
Father God, I just pray for those that are listening today that specifically are dealing with a broken heart when it comes to relationships with their mom, relationships with other moms. Lord, you are the Redeemer. And I would just modify that a little bit because you are also the redreamer. Because when you redeem, you allow us to see the possibilities on the other side of pain and hurt. And so I pray, Father, for redeeming friendships. I pray for redeeming relationships. I pray for places where you want to redeem the broken places in our life. And you want to give us new dreams that maybe if we learn to do things your way, if we venture out into relationships, understanding they're not all the way that we've experienced in the past, that you'll give us a new dream. And so I lift that up to you today. It's in your son's name we pray.
Amen. Dear Jill, thank you for joining us today. Always love our conversations.
Thanks, Susie. It's great to be with you.
Been talking to Jill Savage today. Title of her book is Better Together, because you're not meant to mom alone. There's still a chance to get into the drawing for a copy of Jill's book. We've got about 5 copies to give away. Susie at myfaithradio.com. Put Better Together in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Maybe you'll win a copy. Remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed day, and we'll meet you back here next time.